Chagai Perek Beis Pasuches. I'm sorry I was going to jump into this pasuk, but it was already 7 minutes and 4 seconds. And I said, I can't just waste, in a manner of speaking, this pasuk on an afterthought. Li HaKesef, the Li HaZahav, Ne'om HaShem Tzavakos. A message that resounds throughout history and that we should listen to when we're counting our coin in our bank accounts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zekrashi, uviyadi lahavi lasher chafatzti bo. And it is in my power to bring all that silver and gold to whoever it is that I desire to give all that money to. No matter who has money, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money. It's on loan. It's never going to stay with any of us permanently. You can't take it with you, says the popular aphorism. But my mother likes to say, based on my grandmother, there are no pockets and shrouds. When we are all taken to our final resting place, there's no pockets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will divide up the money as he chooses to divide up the money. Li HaKesef V'Li HaZahav. That'll keep us humble if we remember that pasuk. Short pasuk, powerful message. Tess, Gadol Yihyeh Kavod HaBayis HaZeh HaAcharon Min HaRishon. The glory of this second Beis HaMikdash, this last house, the final house, that's interesting, it's called Acharon. It's not called Shania, it's called Acharon, the last house. Now, we believe in the third Beis HaMikdash, so this is not literal, but it means the one that's about to be built, the glory of it is going to be greater than the first Beis HaMikdash, Amar Hashem Tzavakos. Uvamakom hazeh etein shalom Um Hashem Tzavakos. Twice in the same pasuk, Amar Hashem Tzavakos and Um Hashem Tzavakos. And in this place I will grant peace. The idea of peace in the site of the Temple Mount is unfathomable to those of us who have lived through just the 20th century when the Jews do have their own state. Since 1948, the idea that the Har HaBayis should not be a source of tremendous contention, fighting, and arguing, and strife with the Waqf, I think that's what they're called, W-A-Q-F, the Arab guys who control the Temple Mount, where they used to pile garbage and play soccer. Wow. So now what are we talking about here between the glory of the second Beis HaMikdash being greater than the first Beis HaMikdash? So there's a Gemara where Rav and Shmuel have a disagreement about it. One says it's the height of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is 40 amos high instead of 30 amos high like the first Beis HaMikdash. Others say it's the years of how long it's going to exist. This Gemara right at the beginning of Bava Basra, before we all fall off on Daf Yomi. 420 years instead of 410 years. The renovations that Herod is going to do to it, says Radak, bringing down, are going to transform it into the most beautiful place on earth. Disney notwithstanding. And the Gemara says, whoever didn't see the Beis HaMikdash erected by King Herod has never seen a truly beautiful building. But during the second Beis HaMikdash, there were actually a lot of time periods of peace, as opposed to the first Beis HaMikdash, where wars and oppression and tensions started already as soon as Shlomo HaMelech died, between Rechavam and Yeravam and Aram and everybody else, Mitzrayim, everybody who's constantly invading. Second Beis HaMikdash, hard to imagine, was more peaceful in some ways than the first for long periods of its duration. It ended the same way, unfortunately, in flames and suffering. We did Tess. Yud, Be'esrim Va'arba'a Latashi'i. And then on the 24th of the ninth month, so the 24th of the ninth month is the 24th of Kislev. How could they do that? It was Erev Chanukah. Waka waka. There was no Chanukah yet. So preparation for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash started in Elul, in the sixth month. But actual construction isn't going to take place till the 24th. But it was on Hoshana Rabbah that Chagai took a break to restore the people's confidence and to get their commitment onto a high pitch again. So now, when construction is going to start in the 24th month of Kislev, Bishnashtayim Lidar Yavesh, in the second year of Darius. Remember, there's two Dariuses. Hayod Var Hashem B'yad Chagai Anavi Lamar, the word of God came to Chagai the prophet, saying. So this is how we know that all of these Nevuas take place within a very short time. Our first Nebuah was in Elul. Our second Nebuah was in Tishrei. Our third Nebuah here now is in Kislev. All within the second year of Daryavesh. That's tremendous. Sometimes you have a short but extremely meaningful career. Ask any New York Jet who's ever played. The longer the career, the less meaningful it was. Sorry, lahavdil, lahavdil. Yud Aleph Koy Amar Hashem Tzivakos. Thus saith the Lord. Or thus did the Lord say. It's past tense. Sha'al Noes HaKohanim Torah Lemor. Now ask the Kohanim. Ask the priests the Torah. Asks the priests the Torah? What does that mean? It's time for a Bechina Klalis. It's time for a Faher. If the Kohanim are going to do the work, then they need to know the halachas of Tuma and Tahara. So we need a ruling. We need a little bit of expertise, halachic questions. So Rav says in Gemara Pesachim that Chagai is testing them about, as we said, Tuma and Tahara, and they're going to make mistakes. They're going to flunk the exam. Demonstrating, beautiful phrase by Rabbi Angel, demonstrating their halachic incompetence. So the message here of the next several psukim is that just as the religious leaders err in their halachic rulings, the nation has erred spiritually. The Kohanim have to learn halacha properly if they want to bring karbanos and run the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So after that, starting in Tesvav, there's going to be a new theme about how the people took too long to get started, which is a theme of Chagai that we have seen before. Ibn Ezra disagrees. He says Yehoshua ben Yehotzadok was not unrighteous, and he was not ignorant of Tumah and Tahara. Chagai doesn't say the Kohanim gave wrong answers, so the Ibn Ezra disagrees strenuously. Rashi and Maharikra say the prior pshat, but the Ibn Ezra says, no, this is the wrong interpretation. Chagai, he says, is using halacha as a springboard to his nevuah. He is not testing the halachic knowledge of the Kohanim, but asking questions they would answer correctly. The idea that Tumah spreads more easily than Tahara. Tumah can be transmitted through a garment. Tahara needs direct contact to be transmitted. So this is a parable, he is going to say, to the idea that it's easier to become Tameh than it is to become Tahar. And sin spreads more easily than does purity and righteousness. And as soon as we do tshuva, that's when the blessings of rain and abundance are going to rain down upon us. So Ibn Ezra says the people are grumbling. There was a drought before they started, and there's still a drought, and they're saying, if we're doing the right thing, why is there drought? So the answer is we're doing other chatayim, we're doing other averos. So it's very interesting that we've got two different themes of what's happening here. With this one little pasuk and the ensuing psukim, is he testing the Kohanim and they're coming up short? And so too, therefore, Musar, the people are short, are coming up short? Or is he showing through what the Kohanim are saying a deep message about Tumah and Tahara and drought and Chet and atonement for Chet? So very, very interesting. But it does seem that the halachos we're going to talk about are halachos that the people knew or should have known, as we'll see going on.